Welcome to Growing Younger Health and Fitness podcast designed for people over 40. Hello guys, Alex and Gavin here from Growing Younger again, and the topic for today's podcast is going to be, we're going to give you some guidelines when it comes to exercising, getting fitter, achieving your fitness goals when you suffer from hypertension or high blood pressure. So a lot of people who have high blood pressure, and rightfully so, they're a bit cautious about starting a new exercise program just because you obviously hesitate, you know, how it's going to affect your blood pressure, and the doctor might have told you that, you know, you need to be careful, and so that's fair enough. So Gavin is going to share today his wisdom and his experience in personal training. He'll give you some pointers, some tips on how to make sure that your program stays safe and that your blood pressure stays under control. So let's get started. So give us some, just a general intro, Gavin. Where do you see, what people should consider when they start training and they have high blood pressure?
Sure. Like, it's a really good topic, and a lot of our members do have high blood pressure, for sure. But I think to answer that question is starting off slowly and not trying to go like at a bull in a china shop kind of scenario, where you find lots of people that start exercise routines, they go really hard, really fast, they end up sore, they overdo it sometimes. So it's just about being really mindful that, you know, you're putting yourself at risk if you do try and do these like internet workouts, like high intensity interval training and circuit training, all those sorts of things, certainly at the beginning when you start. So really, you've got to be monitoring your blood pressure regularly anyway. And there's some guidelines out there that personal trainers use that you shouldn't really be doing a lot of exercise if your blood pressure is consistently over 200, like for your, what's that, the diastolic one, and over 100 for the systolic. So if you're having your blood pressure, the other way around, is it? The other way around. So it just means that if that's what it is, you've got to, you know, just go by what the doctor says and have their permission before you start. So if you do get it all clear, literally low impact exercises, you break it up into two categories. So you've got cardiovascular exercise. So like guidelines really should be about 150 minutes a week, which is about 20 minutes a day. Or you could do like, you know, 1 hour, 3 times a week, whatever that is. But it should be at, they call it a rate of perceived exertion, or an RPE, at about 5 to 6. So if you were to do the workout and go, that was about a 6 out of 10, you're in the right ballpark. That's kind of what it comes down to. And again, this is a really nice way to monitor this kind of exercise intensity, because on any given day, you might feel a bit good or a bit worse. And you can judge it by how you feel the day, which is cool. So that's cardio. So the cardio could be, running or swimming or walking or hiking, whatever that is, but about a 6 out of 10. Then you got your resistance training as well. So resistance training should be an important part of anybody's regime. Again, you can apply the same RP of about, 6 out of 10. But you want to be focusing on the main muscles of the body, so squatting and pulling and pushing. They're called compound exercises. So if it'd be like a bench press, it would be a compound exercise for your chest, or a lat pull down, or a compound exercise for your back. And you want to be doing about 3 sets of each and picking about 6 exercises. And if you did that 3 times a week at an RPE 6 out of 10, you're going to be in the right ballpark as well. But again, it's about, finding a base level. If you've not exercised before, don't come in and try and do 3 times a week, do once or twice, and then build up as you go. We were having a conversation just now about isometric exercises. So it seems to be the old research was not to do isometrics, which is holding positions for long periods of time. But there seems to be research coming out maybe that you can do it now, but I guess, have a professional to guide you with that one.
So what the research says, and that's traditionally has been the case, like isometric training will raise your blood pressure more than a normal kind of dynamic exercise. And to give you an idea, so dynamic strengthening exercise, let's say if you were to pick up a dumbbell and do a bicep curl, as you do a bicep curl, you bring it up, you bring it down, that's a dynamic because you're moving it, right? Now, if you were to hold it in your hand for, say, 10, 15 seconds and not move and just hold it, that's isometric, which means you are exercising a muscle while you're actually holding the position, you're not moving. So traditionally, isometric or holding exercises, they tend to raise your blood pressure while you're doing it, okay? So that's why the recommendation has been stay away from isometric exercises if you have high blood pressure. However, the latest research says that you still need to be careful with isometric exercises, but there's some evidence to say if you do it in the right way, long over a long period of time, your blood pressure can actually, long term, your blood pressure will actually, it will get better. It will actually drop to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think with isometrics anyway, I mean, they're not commonly used in the gym, really. I mean, if you've got somebody with a bad knee and they can't squat, which is dynamic, move it up and down, then you can do a wall sit or something, which is dynamic, which is static, which is cool. So I guess for that one, just go by what your trainer or health professional is going to tell you and be advised with that. The other thing as well is really common is switching positions as well in the gym. So you could say you do a standing exercise and you lie down, do some crunches and then get back up again and do the other thing. Like that change of position sometimes can cause a bit of issues. You could potentially faint or pass out or have like, you know, wobbly spells. So if you're going to, you know, do those, you know, it's going to be common to be seated and lying down for certain things, but make sure you bulk them together. So you do your standing exercise first, then a seated, then you're lying down. And I think if you stick to that structure, you're not going to be too far wrong.
So, sorry, you're going from vertical to horizontal as the session progresses. Is that the general?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it, yeah. So you might start off like, you know, doing your squat with a standing, and then you're sitting down, you do your chest presses or your rows are sitting, and then you go into the mats and do your core work and your stretches, that kind of thing. But try and avoid going from standing to sit to lying down and back to sitting, because you can get a bit wobbly sometimes. The other thing as well is obviously just being hydrated as well. I think that's a common one, is make sure you know you're hydrated. And with hydration as well, you know, hydration is not being hydrated when drinking when you're working out. It's being hydrated before you go to the session. So make sure you're drinking your 6 or 7 glasses of water a day. You know, make sure you are hydrated before you go into the gym and just smashing it out. And obviously try not to overheat as well. So try and find air conditions, wear light clothing, all that good stuff. And again, listen to your body as well. If you feel like your heart or you feel any sense of dizziness or your heart is palpitating or is too hard, just take the foot off the pedal a little bit and then just listen to your body. But they're kind of the guidelines really around exercising with the high blood pressure.
So when it comes to actually, like say if someone is a gym member and they decide to join a gym, how would you structure a workout? Like would you already said like go from a standing position gradually to sitting to lying. What about when it comes to targeting body parts, like would you go again arm exercise followed by a leg exercise, then again an arm exercise, so you alternate, or would you stick to arms only first half and then do the legs the second half?
Sure, good question. So I've got a structure I like to use, and it's usually the biggest muscles first and then going down. So it would be like leg exercises first, because they're the biggest muscles in your body. Then you would move on to your sort of chest and back. They're the next biggest sort of muscles. You can do those exercises. Usually they can be done, seated as well. You could, depend on the exercise machines that you got, but they would be the next one. And then you would work the arms and the shoulders as the accessory movements at the end. But that would be a workout structure that you look at.
Okay, cool. And just one last question I'll ask you. So if someone, let's say someone has got a reasonably high blood pressure, let's say 160 plus, and the doctor said, look, you do need to get fit, but like just be very careful, just take it easy. And if they would come to you, the first couple of weeks, what would their training look like?
Sure. So it'd be probably more cardio based. It would be basically getting those steps up, getting that cardiovascular going up. So we'd be looking at the main thing is to do 150 minutes of cardio per week. And then you would add in like one strength session a week under guidance as well. Mm-hmm. And you might look in, like that 6 out of 10 is a good guideline, but you might start at 4 out of 10. And it's literally moving, going through the motions, just learning the exercises and seeing how your body responds. And then you're building up from there. But yeah, it would be heavily dependent on cardio moving more.
Cool. And that's actually very helpful. Actually, one piece of information that I actually found today, I was doing a bit of research on the subject, and there was a study done a couple of years ago, and it's a massive study. So they actually analyzed findings from another 27 studies. I guess it's like a summary study, right? And they actually have found that people who have started doing regular cardiovascular exercises, they, on average, they lower their blood pressure over a period of time by an average of 11 points. So if you look at your blood pressure reading, it usually consists of a higher number and a lower number. So the higher number is systolic, lower number is diastolic. So the higher number, the systolic, can actually go down by 11 points when you get, you know, when you start exercising. So it's not like if your blood pressure is completely out of control, it doesn't mean you can come off your medication. And you should always take advice from your doctor anyway. But like, you know, 11 points is quite significant. Just by doing it the natural way and just by getting fit and healthy and exercising enough.
100%. The other thing to add to that as well is that even if you are on medication, when you do exercise and do these things, it actually enhances the effectiveness of the medication anyway.
Right.
So like, even if you don't come off it completely and you reduce it or just keep the same, it's still working better than just medication alone. So yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Good. But yeah, one last thing I need to say, like, you know, always follow the advice from your doctor. So don't take this as a personalized advice. So always follow what the doctor tells you. This is kind of just gives you a bit of general information to consider when you start your training or if you're training already as well. Okay. That's great. So hopefully you picked something up that would help you. And look, guys, if you find this helpful, share this with your friends that you think might benefit from this as well. And you can subscribe to the podcast. We would really appreciate it. And we'll speak to you on the next episode.
Yeah, catch you guys soon. Okay, guys, so I hope you found the podcast of value. If you did and you're struggling with your own health and fitness journey, there's a link in the description for a free discovery call with me. And that free discovery call, we're going to cover off a little bit about you, your history, your goals, what you want to achieve, and maybe we can help you or not with your own health and fitness goal. So if that does sound like something that you'd like to do, then click on the link in the description, and I look forward to chatting to you in the very near future. Have a good day, guys. Bye-bye.